Well, hello. Welcome to the next episode of Pegasus Radio. And in today's episode, we're going to look at director slash partner salaries. Now, for the sake of context, folks, I'm talking about salaried directors and salaried partners. I'll come on to why we're not going to discuss equity partners and equity directors at the end of the podcast. But just so you're clear, I'm talking about salary levels as opposed to equity positions. Or salaried partners and directors, as opposed to equity partners and directors. So it's amazing how many people ask me what a director should be earning in the market. I think the first obvious thing to say is, are we always comparing apples with apples? So I guess firstly, there's the obvious distinction that historically, a partner would be an actual partner. That would be a legal entity, and a legal equity stake in a partnership. And certainly, historically, a director would certainly have legal responsibility, possibly with or without equity. And then, of course, somewhere along the lines, that's got confused, and the titles of both partner and director could have neither of those. They could have no legal entity and certainly could have no equity as well. More so, you could look at two people on paper and they could have the title of director. One individual could be managing, you know, a team of 100 individuals plus and you know, 10 million plus fee turnover per annum. Another director could literally be managing themselves with no kind of headcount responsibility and only really the fees that they're generating on the projects they are generating. So I think that's the first thing to stress, is that just because you hold the title of director does not mean you hold the same value as another individual who has significantly more kind of headcount, fee turnover, client responsibility. In very simple terms, just to kind of recap what I probably discussed on old podcasts, my view is that in the consultancy world, generally speaking, a base level director, for the sake of this discussion, would typically be managing, you know, certainly anything up from around 800k of fees, whilst an associate, or they probably have one or two associates below them, who would typically be managing around half that number upwards. You know, associate typically manages somewhere between 3 to 5 staff, a director typically managing kind of 8 to 10 staff at that kind of baseline level, and then it goes up from there. And the same could be said for a salaried partner. So it's worth understanding that one, I think. Obviously, there are a few different titles that float around in the market: technical director, project director, etc., etc., associate director, associate partner, senior associate. The list goes on. There are so many different titles out there. So without going off on a tangent, one thing I always advise people to do is not get entirely held up on their job title, and more around what are the roles and responsibilities, what am I doing for that title, what's my headcount I'm managing, etc. I speak to many individuals who've got the title of director or partner, and when you actually assess what they're doing, unfortunately, in some extreme cases, they are managing zero headcount, they have zero kind of BD responsibility, and all they're really doing is managing projects. They've just been given a fancy title. So, yeah, without getting too waylaid, just because you have a title of director, you've got to understand how does that, or where does that compare to the general market, in essence. Okay, so one question I often get asked about director level salaries is, are there geographical divides? So certainly, if we are referring to the UK, is there a north-south divide? Now, the simple answer to that is, yes, there is. People in London generally earn a higher salary as a director or partner than they would do up north, but not for the reason you think. The simple reason, folks, from all everything I've understood, is it actually comes down to the fee levels that you are managing. So as a general statement, in London and South East, fee levels that you charge clients are generally higher than they would be up north. So as a consequence, because fee levels are higher, salary levels can be higher, and that starts from an assistant right through to a director partner. It just goes that way. The same can be said for certain sectors. There are certain sectors that pay higher fees than other sectors, and consequently, you find the individuals in the higher fee-earning sectors, generally speaking, have a higher wage than those who are not in a fee-earning sector. But when it comes down to director or partner-level salaries, I kind of, in my head, have created a little equation. And when I read out this equation to you, people think I sound a bit mad. But honestly, when I kind of market test this, it generally does follow through, quite surprisingly. So I would say that those who are generating fees up to or looking after, so looking after a team and they're generating fees up to $2 million a year annually, but generally on a base salary of around 100K. So just for context, folks, I'm talking about UK individuals here as opposed to international. So those looking after annual fee turnover of $2 million a year generally are getting paid around 100K basic, plus, of course, package on top of that. So as a quick aside, what is the typical package for a director or a partner? It would be fairly similar to what the package is for other individuals insofar as pension. Usually you find pension levels increase as you get to that kind of director partner level. Obviously, the standard in the market is 5 and 5 match. You sometimes find that when people get to director or partner, they're on a better pension structure. But then on top of that, healthcare, life insurance, etc. Sometimes healthcare can be for family rather than individual when you get to director or partner level. But generally speaking, all the things you would generally expect to get at the levels below that. And that would include a bonus. You know, bonuses at director level, you know, still, I think, on average, in the industry, coming around 10% of base salary, but can be higher and can be much more performance linked. So if we start on that baseline of up to 2 million turnover, generally around 100K basic. For every million of turnover you then add to that figure, you then see another 5K jump on salary. So I know that sounds ludicrous, that for an extra £1 million worth of fee that you're responsible for, you know, you're adding an extra 5K, maybe let's say 5 to 10K that you're adding onto that salary per million that you add on to the turnover. And you see that ratchet up, and it generally follows through that, you know, somebody who is managing kind of a £4 million turnover is probably going to be on, you know, 110 to 120K. Somebody managing 10 million is usually going to be around the kind of 140, 150K mark plus package, which I know sounds crazy, but they are the numbers I generally see translate through in the industry. So I guess, can you increase those numbers beyond that level? So the numbers I've given you there as a rough benchmark in terms of how you calculate, can those numbers be improved? I tend to find in large organizations, because of their structure, you can see individuals pushing beyond those numbers. Maybe in smaller companies, I would say, generally speaking, there is an element that usually when you start to push in those kind of numbers, there's usually maybe a discussion around equity before you get there. But certainly you can push way beyond those numbers in terms of increased headcount and responsibility within larger consultancies. So are there some exceptions to what I've just said there as a general statement? And what I tend to find, by the way, folks, those numbers I've given there are usually reflective of what you'll find if you've been in an organization a long time, and that's where you've got to. Not necessarily if you're going to the open market and company is after your skill set. At that point, then maybe the numbers can be higher. So where do these numbers change? Where can sometimes you see kind of higher salaries and without necessarily the kind of numbers that I've said there? So the first scenario is where you've got a very high fee per head business and very low running costs. So typically you find with this, this is under organizations that have a fairly flat structure. You've only got a number of individuals who are directors, and below that are generally senior consultants. The fee levels per fee earner on average are getting close towards 200K plus in fees. In that scenario, sometimes, yes, you will find that you've got directors who are, because by the very nature they are managing a smaller team who are generating higher fees, you tend to find that, yes, in some cases those numbers do bulk up because they've got lower central running costs, so not having to take as many central running costs out of those individuals' numbers. And yes, in some cases you will find that small businesses with a very high fee per head and low running costs can pay higher salaries to a director. Equally, going the other way, sometimes you will find individuals who are very much in the public sector and they are very much in kind of large program or framework-led sectors that could be, for argument's sake, education, healthcare, retail has been some prime examples. Sometimes you'll find people can be managing a heck of a lot of fee level but actually are earning lower numbers than what I've just outlined there in terms of the way I calculate it. And the simple reality there, folks, is that the employers know that an individual is not likely to be able to take those clients and those fees with them. So one of the distinctions, folks, and why you tend to find that the private sector pays more than the public sector in terms of fee levels, and hence the individuals within consultancies who are working in the private versus public sector generally get paid more, is that generally speaking, and this is a bit of a sweeping statement, but generally speaking, within the private sector, you can build relationships that you can take with you. Whereas it's much more difficult to take relationships and certainly immediately take clients and fees with you in the public sector, because it's often framework driven. Your employer is on that framework. They will be on that framework for a set period of time. It could be a year, it could be two, it could be three, it could be more. And you're not, because it's an agreement, a framework agreement with a public sector organization, you simply can't just take the work with you. And they know that. And so consequently, you tend to find individuals or directors or partners, even if they're managing substantially large amounts of fee turnover, often are underpaid relative to that kind of spectrum I gave, all that calculation I explained there. Sometimes you can find that there are certain sectors, conversely in the private sector, that are paying very well because the fee levels are just astronomically high. So some obvious sectors there would be the data center market at the moment, life science, stroke pharmaceutical, commercial developer. These are sectors where, generally speaking, fee levels are a lot higher. And because they're a lot higher, generally speaking, salaries can be a lot higher. Sometimes you find with organizations that are very high growth startup organizations, they can afford a bit more bandwidth in terms of what they pay because they're asking you to take on a lot more risk. They are, by very nature, a bit more of a risky proposition. And consequently, you sometimes find that salaries may be higher than the things that I outlined there. Now, the last exception is where you can maybe push salaries beyond the outline numbers I've given there. It's just simply if a company really does want to invest in a sector. So let's say, for argument's sake, that you have a consultancy business at the moment who has never done commercial developer. They are desperate to get into the commercial developer sector, and they are going to go out to market and hire a specialist within the commercial developer sector, especially a specialist who can potentially bring clients with them in the, you know, within the first 18 months, could bring, you know, X amount of fee with them and, you know, one or two very shiny new clients in that commercial developer sector. Then it's about how much the buyer, the new employer, is prepared to pay somebody to bring in that new sector expertise with them. And hence, going back to various podcast episodes I've done on this subject, I genuinely believe that if you want to maximize your earning potential in the future, then you should be a specialist over a generalist. Because generally speaking, when companies go out to market and they're prepared to pay a high premium for a director or partner, it's nearly always that they're after a sector specialist. So that, in some cases, is where you can find that there's more opportunity to earn more money in the market, is when you are a sector specialist. So obviously the numbers I gave you there to begin with, or the outline numbers I gave you there, are obviously, you know, based on the baseline number of this kind of 100K mark, roughly managing 8 to 10 people, maybe between 800 to a million quid's worth of fee turnover and up to about 2 million. So how do you increase that? Well, it's the obvious things, folks, you do to increase that. How do you get up the levels in terms of a, you know, director or partner level salary? The obvious things are you increase headcount that you are managing, you increase fee turnover that you are managing, you increase the number of clients that you are directly responsible for, and you really do hone that business development tool and do very well at that. You can find, folks, you know, I know one consultancy where some of the individuals are being paid not a great amount of money for actually looking after a massive amount of fee turnover. For those of you listening who are in the organization, where you can work out how you are, you become almost an internal administrator to the commercials, and by that I mean the actual finances of the team you're looking after. You may get yourself stuck in some kind of matrix web where you're actually responsible for quite a large region, but other cost centers are delivering the actual work and are the ones who technically head the fee turnover per individual. In those scenarios, you can get yourself into a trap where you are looking after, you know, 10, 15, 20 million quid worth of fee in terms of a region and certain sectors and clients. But actually, by the virtue of the fact that you're not technically overseeing the actual fee delivery, you've got other cost centers doing that, you can find yourself being paid not great at all, yet a heck of a lot of responsibility. So what I always advise is make sure you are close to the clients, make sure you own the client relationships, and you are responsible for delivering to those clients and the headcount that is delivering to those clients. It makes a huge difference in terms of what your earning potential can be, is my honest view. So coming to the end of this episode, I guess one question that I've not discussed is, why do I not discuss equity salaries and equity rewards on here? Now, I've done, you know, a great podcast before and a good document article that, again, I can, you know, get across to you around what I term the equity partner dilemma. And that is to say that there's a lot of people who have been promised an equity position in a business, but they don't really, the carrot's dangled, but they don't really understand, A, how they get there, and when they do get there, what the cost will be to them, and what the actual equity partnership or equity, whether it be partnership or a limited company or other type of corporate organization, they don't really understand what the value of that is to them. And without understanding what the value of that equity is, what it's going to cost you to get, how much you're going to get each year from it. And of course, I appreciate as an equity holder, that's not set in stone, but the point is you can have a rough understanding what you may earn per year, assuming the business continues at a certain level or increases turnover and profit at a certain level. But the amount of people who I speak to just are absolutely clueless about what they could potentially be earning in an equity position, you know, absolutely blows my mind. The second thing to say, and that's why I can't really get into unpacking the equity model, is it really does depend on, you know, what the fee turnover is, what the equity position is in terms of how much you own of that equity, and what kind of level of profit that organization are making. I can honestly say, folks, that there are some consultancy organizations out there, whether they be a partnership or a limited company, where I know for a fact some of the directors and partners' equity, this is, are probably earning, and this is with equity payment each year, less than 100k a year. I say it makes, there's such a vast array of it. You know, I can tell you categorically that there are equity holders and partners out there earning millions a year within consultancies, and equally there are ones earning less than 100k a year. So it's almost impossible to give you a sensible idea about what you could earn as an equity piece. It's more about understanding the organization that you are potentially in or potentially going to, and still fundamentally I've been able to answer that key thing of what will the equity cost me to buy into, and then what is it going to be worth to me? Can I increase that over time, etc.? And so it becomes a very kind of difficult one to unpack, and hence why I don't really want to get into the kind of worms of trying to explain to you about what different equity holders can earn in the industry. Okay, so I think very quickly in summary, when it comes down to the title of director, don't be fooled that just because you have a director's title, that it means the same thing in all organisations. It really doesn't. Different organisations have different structures, different titles, etc. And it can mean different things to different organisations. Really understand the actual kind of nuts and bolts of what you're doing day to day, what your headcount responsibility is, what fee turnover responsibility is. That will give you a better idea about where you compare to other organisations. The formula I gave, i.e. roughly a 100k salary of 2 million in fees and then 5k for every million add on to that, does kind of work, to be honest, folks. When I look at individuals, this is typically individuals who've been with the business a long time and have got into that position, but remarkably it does really work. And as crazy as it sounds, if you apply it, you'll find it does generally work. I think one of the key things, as well as increasing headcount and increasing fee turnover, is that ability to win and retain clients of your own. That is what gives you value in the market, and that generally will be where you'll continue to increase your value in the market, ideally in a specialist sector. So be a specialist, be niche in one sector. That's where you increase your value in the market. And that's why companies may pay a lot more than the structure I've just given you there in terms of how you work out rough numbers. Generally speaking, I would say that if you're in the private sector, you have got more of an opportunity to increase your salary levels more than the public sector, sadly, just because of the way, as I say, the way I explained it before, it's all about your ability to take clients with you. And within the public sector, given by major framework driven setups, it's a lot more difficult for you to take those clients with you. And lastly, within the larger consultancies, you can reach significant numbers without necessarily reaching an equity position. It's worth stressing that, you know, certainly within some of the large consultancies, I know for a fact there'll be people on, you know, comfortably, you know, north of 300k without necessarily having equity in a business. Equity is not always where it's cracked up to be. Do your due diligence. Don't sit in an organization for years under the promise of equity without understanding kind of what the equity will cost you and what it will give you back each year. Because if you don't understand those, then you're grafting away for no good reason. You don't know what you're going to get, essentially. I hope that's been a useful one. I do have this in document form as well. So anybody who would like the actual document about director salaries and how I calculate them within the consultancy world, please do drop me a line. I can get that through to you. But in the meantime, have a great day, folks, and watch this space for more. Cheers. Mm-hmm.